Welcome to Romans Road, the podcast of me, Eddie Roman. This is where we talk about evangelism and apologetics and all kinds of Christian stuff.
Happy birthday to my son, Daniel. He turns 20 years old today, and he actually said to me, for my birthday, I want you to do a podcast episode. And I thought, oh yeah, I got a podcast. And I haven't done one in over a year, but at least it hasn't been 2 years. So anyway, here we are. I'm back again. And why haven't I done one in so long? No particular reason. Just I have a busy life with family and my day job and ministry. And boy, a lot's been happening since the last one. I spoke at churches and evangelism conferences and stuff like that in different parts, man, of the world last year. Spoke at a bunch of places and just doing family ministry and living my life. Anyway, I've talked about that before on this podcast over a year ago. Anyway, so that is that. Today, we are going to hear from Liberty Bell. This is an interview I got, boy, a while ago. Liberty Bell, that's actually her pretend name. She has a real name. She didn't tell me what it was, and you're going to find out why in the course of this podcast. It's pretty interesting, actually. But let me set the stage here. I'm out at night. I'm evangelizing near the Oceanside Pier, which is my habit, and I got the riddle. And if you don't know what the riddle is, you'll have to go back into the archives of this podcast and find the episode called The Riddle. Basically, I use this riddle as a way to get into gospel conversations. And if you want to see how I do that, then you'll have to go find the episode. So here we are. The glowing riddle is set up on the sidewalk. This lady comes over. She sees the riddle and she sits down right in front of it, Indian style, on the sidewalk. Am I allowed to say Indian style anymore? Is that politically correct? It's when you sit on your bottom with your legs crossed, and I can actually still do that, even in my older age, and I'm not even an Indian. I'm a Mexican. So she sits down Mexican Indian style and reads the riddle, and so I waltz over and start talking to her, leading her through the riddle, heading to the big question about life after death. And Liberty has a very interesting look. So it's at night. It's not cold. And she's wearing these big, black, dark sunglasses and an American flag headscarf and this kind of jacket thing. And, her face is so covered with her glasses and her head wrap thing. I can see her nose and mouth, and that's about it. Can't see her hair or her eyes. And it's almost as if she's wearing a disguise. And that little piece of information will come into relevance as we get further into this episode. So, here we go. A conversation with Liberty Bell. I've skipped all the preliminary riddle stuff, and I'll just get right to the big question.
What are your thoughts on what happens after death?
My thoughts. Interesting. Well, first I have to say I'm not planning on dying because I think that's poor planning.
That's good.
So I don't plan on that. And
oh, you're saying you're not planning on...
I'm not planning on dying, so I think it's poor planning. So, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't believe I'm ever going to die.
You don't think you're ever going to die?
I feel that I've understood that from a very young age. And whatever time in the time frame we are in, maybe there's something changing going on and there's some reason why that has been something that's been channeled to me or however. But I mean, not saying that I'm like invincible or anything like that, but if I were to, it would be Valhalla. That's where I would go. And in that, in just a conceptual sense. So.
Okay. I picked the right person to talk to because I definitely like to have conversations with people who have thought about this stuff and have some kind of take.
All right. So there's Liberty Bell. And I almost forgot. In addition to my son, Daniel, asking me to do the podcast and me agreeing to that, I also just remembered he said that he wants me to bring back the scratch transition. This one right here. All right. So I am going to do that just for his sake. Anyway, so here's Liberty Bell. You know, if you evangelize on a regular basis, you will meet people who have spent a lot of time thinking through spiritual issues. Not everyone does, and I wouldn't even say most people do, but here she is. She claims to have known she's never going to die from a young age. She may have had this information channeled to her, she says. She likes the concept of Valhalla. Maybe she's been watching Thor movies. I don't know. Whatever the case is, there's a lot going on there.
When you say you don't believe you're going to die, now I actually believe the same thing about myself, but maybe in a different sense. So do you believe that the physical body you are in now is going to last forever? Or do you mean that more in a spiritual sense? Or what do you mean when you say you're never going to die?
Well, it's something I'm learning. Like, it's still like, you know, what does that fully mean? Even when you think about Jesus, and there, you know, him being able to heal people, and in the Bible, like, and I've grown up different ways. I'm not going to say quite yet, but,
well, I missed that last part. You said you what?
I've grown up in different religions, and, I don't want to go in there just yet, but.
All right. So she brought up Jesus, and that's great. Even if she doesn't have 100% correct view of who Jesus is, she brought him up, you know? So now she has some kind of a religious background, but she says she doesn't want to go there yet. She doesn't want to let that cat out of the proverbial bag. You know, sometimes people won't tell you their spiritual position, affiliation, because they're being deceptive. You know, there's times when I've been talking to them. There's times when I've been approached by someone from a religious group, and, you know, I'll ask them, so what church do you go to? What religion is this? And they'll just change a subject, or they won't say that. You know, there's a local cult near me that believes in Mother God. What is it called? The World Mission Society Church of God. And they're a cult out of South Korea. And they, the times that I've talked to them, they won't tell me the name of their church right off the bat. And it's almost like they're trying to hide it. And I understand why, because it's so unbiblical and weird and strange that it's almost like they, you know, don't want to go there right off the bat. So anyway, that's always a red flag. If someone doesn't want to reveal their religion or whatever it is right off the bat, it's a whole secretive thing, you know. And I don't do that. If someone asks me what church are you with, or what, I just tell them right away. I tell them I'm a Christian. You know, Jesus didn't hide it. We shouldn't either. In John 18:20, Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple where all the Jews came together, and I spoke nothing in secret." So, you know, I could imagine if someone is a Christian and they are embarrassed of being a Christian, or they are embarrassed of their church for whatever reason, then I could see people not wanting to let people know, you know, what they're all about. But, you know, Jesus didn't keep anything secret. We shouldn't either. But you know what? Liberty Bell actually has a very different reason for not wanting to mention her former religion, and we're going to get to that soon. It's actually pretty interesting.
But, if Jesus was a perfect human and didn't have any sin, because it's the wages sin pays is death.
So, that's very true.
I believe. So.
And so would that?
So would you possibly not have died at all? However, I mean, maybe he can't be killed, but perhaps he would have lived like Adam and Eve thing. So would they have would have they lived forever without them not having sinned? So that's like a good question.
That's a great question. Now, what, you know, when I asked why you don't think you're going to die, you went to Jesus and how it says the wages of sin of death. does that mean that in your mind you're thinking, well, I'm not going to die because I haven't sinned or I don't have any sin? Is that kind of the...
Not really, actually. Well, the thing is, if Jesus died for our sins, then he already paid the price. So why would God ask for more debt if he's already, if it's already been paid? That would be not very consistent, or, you know, so.
All right. That's actually a good question. And it's a common question. I actually hear this, pretty regularly. If Jesus paid the price for sin on the cross, it's finished. We're all good, right? And this question assumes the death of Christ was payment for everyone, no matter who they are, what they believe. It's a form of universalism, the belief that everyone goes to heaven. And, you know, I'm going to address this at some point, directly or indirectly, but for now, I'm just listening. And you know, if you've listened to this podcast before, that's what I do. I don't attack everything right off the bat. I just listen and try to figure out where people are. So let's keep listening.
I understand why you would say that. Because in a sense, if that was the only verse that we had, then that might make sense. But do you know what the rest of the Bible says about, you know, how it would answer that question as far as the, both the reason we deserve to die, and then also why is it that some people don't get that gift of eternal life? Because the verse you quoted is Romans 6:23. It says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Okay. Right? So there's two parts of it. The wages of sin is death. So in other words, what we earn because of our sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. So I guess the question is this: does everyone receive that gift?
I don't have the answer to that yet.
Okay, I do have the answer, so let me give it to you before we move on. God has given the gift of eternal life. Who gets the gift of eternal life? That's the question. Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. So who gets the gift of eternal life? You know, those who have faith in Jesus. Those who have faith. And this is consistent with the rest of the New Testament. Not everyone gets the gift. Look at John 1:11. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Okay? Though as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Those who received him. And then in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. So the gift of eternal life is given by God, but it's not received by everyone. It's not, you know, universalism is a lie. It's just not true. But as is my habit, I'm not going to argue with Liberty Bell at this point. Early in the conversation, I am still gathering information.
I'm trying to go on this walk and figure out what is my relationship with the source, the power, universe, God, Jesus. And what does it all look like? So I can't answer that for everyone. I just have to, like, literally keep my integrity with what I know at that time and how I don't know what word even to use. And understand what I'm being called to do. Because even Jesus said, or it was, many are called, few are chosen. And there's different gifts that different ones are given. So... and different talents that were given. So.
Okay, so she just referred to God as he or she. So we can safely say that Liberty is definitely not a Christian. A Christian would know who God is, at least in a very basic sense. And they would understand that God is not a she. At this point, I'd categorize her as someone who's searching, possibly, whether she's searching in an honest way, as someone who draws, as someone who God is actually drawn to himself, or perhaps in a dishonest way, as someone who claims to be searching for truth while consistently rejecting everything about Christianity. That's common. I run into a lot of people who claim to be seeking, and yet their version of seeking means rejecting everything about Jesus, everything about the Bible, everything about anything that they would consider stuff they don't like. You know, that's not really seeking. That's just rejecting everything. You know, it's as if they believe they already have the truth, and Christianity isn't it. Many people claim that no one can know the truth, which is a truth claim, since they're saying it's true that nobody knows. You know, so the question is, where does liberty fall into the scale of possibilities? We'll find that out. And getting back to God being maybe a he or a she, I'm not sure this would have been a popular thought 100 years ago, but today there are multiple groups that believe in a lady God. You know, many feminist New Agers refer to the supposed goddess within. You know, you'll hear that talking to New Agers sometimes. Unleash your goddess within, your inner goddess. And they're basically saying that they, as a woman, they're a god, and inside them is God, and they need to release, you know. So there's that kind of thing, referring to a goddess as a god as a woman. Mormonism. This isn't something that everyone knows. This isn't something that the Mormons publicly announce. And if you're a Mormon and you're listening to this and you're saying you're not supposed to call us Mormons anymore, we're Latter-day Saints. Well, no, you're actually a false version of Christianity. So whatever your label is doesn't really matter. Okay, Mormonism believes that the Father God of this planet has a Mother God partner. Do you know that? You won't find the Mormon Mother God in their intro classes. They hide that awkward teaching for later indoctrination. So the Mormons believe in a female God. And then, as I mentioned before, there's the World Mission Society Church of God. They're a cult from South Korea. They usually begin their witness encounters by asking if you've heard of Mother God. Super interesting. And it almost like they're going after people in churches who don't know their Bible, and they just have this way of stumbling people up right away about Mother God. And they got all these proof texts, allegedly, kind of any kind of thing that refers to anything feminine in the Bible. They say, oh, look, that's Mother God. And they use this weird twisted logic. Anyway, so their growth in America just basically proves how biblically illiterate Americans are. They don't know their Bible enough to understand that there is no Mother God, and the God that does exist is not a woman. So weird. Because clearly the Bible teaches there's one God. He's not a mother. He's God the Father. So there are groups that teach a female God, but I don't think Liberty Bell is referring to any of those. I think she's basically just saying, I don't know who God is. I just don't know.
I don't know 100% what my full purpose is, but perhaps maybe that's part of my purpose, and that's maybe why I feel like that. But I don't know. It hasn't been fully revealed to me. And I wonder, honestly, kind of being a social scientist in a way, if our thoughts are powerful. So honestly, like I took a tech, I guess they call it tech detox, and like away from TV and all this stuff. And it's like when sometimes I'm exposed to TV, I'm like, wow, they're talking a lot of death on there. They're talking about a lot of, you know, when you're
and even
all the time,
and even when they're not talking,
maybe in your own body,
and even when they're not talking about things that are negative, it's just a waste of time.
I mean, I'm not going to judge anything how people use their time. You know,
right.
We all get the gift of time, and I'm just saying from my perspective, like that's how it affects me, and I wonder how it's affecting other people. And if they really did stepped away, like took time away from their phone or took away time away from TV, and then they got exposed to it again, if they would see the juxtaposition or the difference. And like, you know, even back in the day, like doctors used to prescribe sunshine and ocean air. That's literally what they would prescribe.
You know, one of the saddest things in the world is when you see a bunch of friends sitting around a table at the restaurant and they're all looking at their phones. But yeah, how many people even here at Oceanside are missing the sunset because they're looking at their phone, you know? It's crazy.
Well, the thing about, at least here in Oceanside, is it's not as, I mean, I'm saying, it's not saying it's not maybe a problem, but the difference of what I've seen in other areas, like away from the ocean, like it is, people are addicted. They are addicted to their phone. Like it's an addict, they want to talk about all sorts of addictions. They are addicted to technology.
Totally agree.
And so it's more so, and I've seen the effects on people, just observing and sitting and observing people, interacting with people.
Well, people can't talk to each other anymore.
We started like a AI anonymous, like almost like Alcoholics Anonymous, but AI anonymous. We had this circle. We would just sit in a circle. And
my name's Eddie and I use a phone.
Yes. And like, yeah, totally like that. And we had someone stand in the middle of the circle and we had no technology. So you had it in your bag. It was, you know, could be on or off or whatever. But I didn't want to be discriminatory against AI because maybe that's,
sure,
you know, its own being in itself. And we can go into that another time, Skynet. But anyways, I had another circle for technologies, you know, AIs, because they, you know, a person's a person no matter how smallish and it deserves a voice. So I'm just trying to be fair, you know, as much as I can. So we had this circle of...
Yeah, and just like anything else, AI or technology, there's a lot of good stuff. There's a lot of good stuff that can be done with those, but it's the addiction part, you know?
Yes, and the whole thing was the experiment that I did was... You know, so people would just come, they'd be walking the mall, they just come up and they'd sit in the circle and they want to try that out. And like this one young couple, like probably early 20s, walked up and like with her boyfriend, and you know, and then they're standing in the circle and like we asked her, like, I can't remember exactly what, he was okay. Like he was able to answer questions, things like that. But she couldn't, I forgot what the question was, and it will come back to me one of these days. Because I haven't thought about this probably like a year, maybe 2 years. And she literally could not answer a simple question about how she's doing or whatever. She had to be like, she was literally, I'm so serious, like wanted to ask, I don't know if it was Google or Siri or whoever her person is.
Yeah.
And she like literally could not, her boyfriend saw that. He's like, wow. Eyes were open. We were all like, wow, this is a problem. There's something going on here.
She needed to consult her second brain.
You know, I've gathered this information over the years, and like.
I love that. I think that's super interesting. That sounds like a really
neat thing. I can't necessarily interpret all the results. These are the results, and I would love to share that, and get people to understand what's going on.
That's fascinating. So Liberty, there is a place in the Book of John.
Okay.
That answers the question on, if God has given us the gift of eternal life, does that mean everyone's saved? In the book of John, chapter 1, it's talking about Jesus, and it says, and as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. So that's the difference there. So if someone...
Well, then, I'm a child of the King.
Not so fast there, Liberty Bell. Are you a child of the King or are you a child of the Queen? You don't even know if God is a woman or not. So, you know, I'm going to dig a little deeper because I care about her and I don't want her to walk away thinking she's right with God when it's kind of obvious that she doesn't know who God is. How can you know that you're right with God if you think God is a woman? So anyway, here we go.
What does it mean to receive Jesus?
What does that mean?
Because I'll tell you what, I talk to a lot of people. You know, it's not my place to judge people, but I talk to people who say, well, I received Jesus when I was a kid. I prayed this prayer at church. And yet now they are involved in some kind of lifestyle that goes totally against what they claim. And you know what the word hypocrite is, right? And so what does that mean to receive Jesus?
What does that mean? What does that mean? Because I'm not even trying to answer from what I was taught. You know, I'm trying to really honestly, like, look at the Bible, look at my own testimony of how I've seen miracles and how God has, how do I explain that to someone else? Like, and to not be like, this is the way you have to do it, because I'm not the authority on that. Like, you have, I have a personal relationship with him to where he's called me to do things, and I followed through. So as best I can. And how do you receive him? I mean, how do you receive him?
So you said something really good. You said
you're knocks on your door. Like he uses a lot of parables and illustrations.
Right.
So he's like, Jesus, if I'm knocking on the door, you know, you let him in. So.
So you said you're not the authority, and I agree, I'm not the authority either. But I think that's the key. It's like, what is the authority himself say about what that would mean? Because in the Bible, there are plenty of places where Jesus himself is talking about false believers and false prophets and false teachers and people who claim to be a Christian, but they're not. So that's a pretty important question.
Means follower of Christ.
Yeah, definitely.
A follower of Christ. So a lot of people can say this is Christ. Oh, yeah. But if they like pull the wool over your eyes and that wasn't really him, and you're following this way, you know.
Great point.
And you're not really following him, but he, I believe, understands that they were deceived, right? And he sees each one of us, each and every one of us.
He does, and that can be scary sometimes.
We can follow, we can listen to, like, or see those ways that you, like, hey, it says, hey, you know, like, are you going to do the right thing? Like, he gave us principles, like, love your neighbor as yourself, you know, do not judge. What else? I have to pee, sorry, as well.
All right. Well, I didn't need that piece of information, but I suppose she's being honest, so we move on.
But, well, I mean, even with those things you said, it would make sense that if someone is not doing those things, it would kind of seem that they're not someone who's actually following Christ.
You know my people by the love they show among themselves.
Absolutely.
So,
you know, an easy example would see, you know, you see on TV once in a while, maybe there'll be guys holding up signs that says God hates and then whatever, fill in the blank. And they're out there preaching. And in their mind, they're Christians giving the message. And yet any person, whether they've read the Bible or not, can just very clearly see this person doesn't seem to be a God follower, you know. So the way I like to explain it, because it can be a very deep thing. Even you, when I asked you that question, it's like you went into this thought mode. It's like, how do I say this? Because there's a lot to it.
And the thing is, at the same time, it's like I might not have all the ins and outs of everything, but there is a responsibility as well on top of it. So it's such an interesting balance of
absolutely.
Like, well, you got to speak up for what's right, and at the best that you can, and sometimes we don't always apply it in the right way, but he knows what our heart is. And
even that can be very tricky because in the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 17, it says, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And so often we think like, well, God knows my heart. And yet that can be the problem too, you know. It can be good and bad because he knows everything. And so let me tell you this. So the way I like to explain to people how it is they can receive Christ or know they're right with him is to ask them a few questions. By answering these questions, it kind of clarifies everything. And because what I don't want is just to tell someone something and then think, well, I told them, now they know. Like it's better for people to just think about this stuff, right? And even if I walk away,
like meditate on it.
And even if I walk away not sure whether or not the person is a Christian, I'd rather them understand, because I know that in my power, I don't have the power to make anyone believe anything, but I do want to give a clear presentation of the message. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you through these questions just the way I would anyone else. Okay, so Liberty Bell, would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Okay, we are about 15 minutes into this conversation, and I am just now getting to the good person test. Liberty has a lot on her mind, and I'm not one to rush a conversation when the person is talking about all kinds of, you know, stuff. But at this point, now it begins. This is the gospel presentation. I'm now going to take her through what I call the good person test. If you're familiar with livingwaters.com and Living Waters Tracks, the good person test is simply just an easy way to lead someone through the gospel. But the conversation might go in all kinds of different directions, but in any case, I'm going to do what I can to explain the gospel, and the good person test is a very easy way to stay on track. Just the other day at my church, someone asked me, what do you say when you're not sure if they're a Christian? What do you say to someone who you think they're a Christian, but you're not sure? Well, I do the same thing as when I know they're not a Christian, and I take them through the good person test. You know, I explain the gospel to them. And if they happen to be saved already, great. A Christian doesn't lose anything by hearing the gospel again. All right, so I'm going to take Liberty Bell through the good person test again.
Would you consider yourself to be a good person? You are such a thinker.
Like, why do you call me good? Isn't that what Jesus said?
You are such a good thinker. So let me ask you this. Do you go to church now?
I go to several different ones, and I visit them. I feel like they're all colleges.
But you do have some kind of Bible background, obviously. You learned some stuff when you were younger, or what? Okay. All right. So.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Very studious.
Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Like in the loose terms of it, like the way, like how we normally in the English language would say it, I would say yes. In the way that maybe it was good, because I mean, think of good and God. God is good. God is love, and all that. So basically, my New Year's resolution this year was, I want to be love. So I want to say I am love, and I knew that would be, because it, like, not trying to, like, okay, be like God or, like, you know, but in a way we are trying to reflect love. And so it's been my journey this year of being love and learning, even through all, like, the ups and the downs and the mistakes and messing up and then getting up again, learning how to be love, and gone through a lot. A little bit heartbreak and things like that, and also learning loving myself too. God is good. God is
and it,
love.
It's definitely
so,
good.
Yes, I'm trying to learn to be good.
And that
be, like, because I'm a human being good, being love.
And that's a great goal.
So,
and yet,
I'm not there yet? How about that? It was.
All right. Her goal is to reflect love. She says she's learning how to be love. And, you know, this is kind of common. People just think that love is the most important thing, and then they define love to whatever it is that means to them. The LGBT people would say the most important thing is love, and if two guys love each other, then that's all that matters. And yet, what they're doing, they're redefining love in their terms. They're saying sin is actually love. And that just makes no sense. You know, if we're going to use the word love, we need to use it in the sense that it's defined in the Bible. God is love, and anything that is sinful, any act of sin, is not love, right? So having the act of love define, like, your most important thing in life, I mean, again, unless that definition is within the context of the Bible, the way God defines love, then it's really meaningless. And I think in this case, the word love is more not so much homosexuality, but it's more just what feels good, what seems good, more almost like in a hippie sense. You know, we all just need to love each other and whatever we want that to mean. But we should reflect God's love. You know, when we love our neighbor, we're acting as we should, according to God. But if a person is loving and yet they're lost, they're still lost. Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, they can be loving, but they're still in need of a savior. So love is not the most important thing. It is important, but there's definitely other things that matter to God for sure.
My New Year's resolution, it is, what is this? Only July. Okay.
Halfway there.
Right. So, you know, ask me that question again in December. You know, I might have to do, learn to go to another level in January. So
I love the fact that you are trying. And yet in your Bible knowledge, you understand that only God is good. And I think that's a great thing to understand that a lot of people don't.
He just expects the best, our personal best. And that's the thing, when you asked that question earlier, it was hard to answer because his standards he has for you or for me are completely different, because he's just expecting you to do your best.
Your best
is your best, and that is enough.
Okay, now that's definitely false. It's a common view today, but it's also a lie. You know, our best will always fall short of the glory of God because we're sinners. We aren't good enough. That's why we need a savior. And God's not a first grade PE teacher telling his kids to do their best and that's good enough. You know, everyone gets a trophy, that kind of thing. No, he's a glorious king who righteously punishes sin. Our best is not enough. That's why Jesus died on the cross, to pay the price for our sin, because the best we could ever do isn't enough. Our righteousness is about as worthy as filthy rags from God's point of view, according to Isaiah 64:6. But this is a very common view, you know. Well, I'm going to get to heaven because I'm going to do my best. And, you know, again, it's people using their own standards to replace the standards that God has already given for us. Just do your best. But again, no matter how good we do, our best could never be enough.
My best is my best, and that is enough. And everyone's, you know, if you're really honestly trying to do your best, I mean, and it also goes into the four agreements, like be impeccable with your word, always do your best, you know. What does it say?
What are the four agreements? Is that like an Alcoholics Anonymous thing or something like that?
No, it's a book. I don't know, it's like, I think it might be Tolkien or something, but it's a man that wrote it, and it was actually a really good book.
Okay, I looked up the four agreements real quick. It's kind of new agey looking. It's a self-help book that Oprah promoted, of course, because she promotes anything kind of new agey. And it wasn't written by Tolkien. But anyway, I won't be reading it. It's because I guarantee you the Bible is much better. It's actually just kind of a self-help book, basically.
And I personally believe so far that if it's true, and if it's beneficial, and if it is love, then it is God. So whether that comes from a Bible, or they got it, the Buddhists, or, you know, whatever country culture is, if that is in line with our Creator, then that's truth. So it doesn't have to be like necessarily a Bible scripture, but it would all, if the Bible is the source, you know, and that's a whole other topic for another thing. I believe in the Bible myself, but there's some things I would like to elaborate on about that, but not today.
Okay, this just keeps getting weirder and weirder. It's so interesting, you know. She thinks that truth can come from all kinds of religions, but she believes the Bible. And she seems to know some of the Bible. And at this point, I'm just super curious about what her religious background is, because something back there isn't right. You know, one of the most basic truths about Christianity is that Jesus is the only way to heaven. All other religions are false. And this is one of the main reasons unbelievers hate and criticize Christianity, because it claims to be exclusive. You know, John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And then, speaking of Jesus, Peter, filled with the Spirit, said in Acts 4:12, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." This is basic Christianity. Salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. So when someone says, "I believe the Bible, but I believe that other ways are good too," whatever a person believes in. And yet this is a person who seems to know a pretty good deal of the Bible. I'm so curious as why she seems to know the basics, yet has such a skewed view of Jesus. It's kind of fascinating to me.
Well, I like the fact that you're thinking through this. So
the thing is, like, so if Buddhists, which I don't know, I'm just starting to learn about that. If Buddhists say love your neighbor as yourself, and they never heard of Jesus, never read a Bible in their life, well, if they're loving their neighbor as themselves, then are they doing what Jesus said? Yes, and even Jesus said, you know, with the apostles, he sent the apostles out to go preach or, you know, do what they're doing. They were saying, oh, this other guy over here is like expelling these or whatever he's doing, and he's not one of us. And he says, well, if he's not against us, then he's with us, you know, like leave the
but
man
that
alone.
But that man was doing those things in Jesus' name. So that was more issue is this guy's in a different church. And Jesus is saying, well, he's you're either for me or against me, because that's something he said too, right? Yeah, the question about what about all the other good people, you know, in different religions, that's something that comes up. I think going through these questions, I will be able to answer that when all said and done. But we're not even past the first one yet. So you do consider yourself to be a good person in one sense, but compared to God, none of us are. Let me ask you this. How many lies do you think you've told in your whole life?
To be honest, I don't know. And I honestly don't practice lying. So.
You don't practice it, but have you done it?
I'm pretty sure I have.
Okay. What do you call someone who tells lies?
A liar. Well, the thing is that the correct word? Because, see, I also do an etymology and definitions of words. So, and the thing too is, what's interesting is I'm trying to learn right now actually is like being, I've been so open and honest and like to the point where it was like not okay and not safe. And so I don't know,
I don't know
how, what is that balance? And so, because I'd rather just be open, honest with everything all the time, you know? And I've lived that life and
get you into trouble sometimes.
Take advantage of that. They really take advantage of it, and it's not safe. And I've been hurt, and I'm not even saying hurt like just emotionally, but literally like hurt, like physically, for being so open and so honest.
No, I believe you.
That some things are private and something I'm trying to learn. Hello.
So
there, it's like, you know, if somebody asks you like, oh, what's your address, where you live? Like, you know, and like, they're kind of like, I don't know. See, I grew up so differently that I was honestly so sheltered from this world. So when I came out into this world at such an adult age after 30, I was culture shocked and did not realize. So yeah, that's the thing. Like,
can I ask, just because this is so interesting to me, can I ask you if you could give me like the 30 second or 1 minute version of what do you mean you were sheltered up to the age 30? It can be brief, and if it's something that you don't want to talk about, that's fine too. But it's just, it's so interesting to me.
So it makes me want to cry a little bit. Like, I still am dealing with some trauma and worry for my safety, to be honest, because of stepping away from that religion. And I still
What religion is that?
One moment.
Okay, sorry.
I would say, like, I still deal with fear in a way, like, of, oh, like, am I going to bring reproach on that religion? You know, I don't want to be taken the wrong way about it. Like, I still deal with that fear. And I am trying to seek professional help in dealing with religious trauma. So for me to say that, right, this and that. Because I want to do the right thing and tell the truth, and it is my perspective too. And but honestly, I was raised as one of Jehovah's Witnesses.
And it affected you quite a bit, as I can see on your face right now. I just want you to know that I think it's extremely brave of you to be talking about this right now. And I also think that you're scared to death.
I'm scared to death to even talk about this. So, Libro de Oppresso, liberate the oppressed. And I'm a pioneer in this. I am trying to save a lot of lives, and I'm really putting my life on the line.
Saving a lot of lives, as in to go back and bring other Jehovah's Witnesses out?
Not force anyone anything, but give them, if they choose to or want to, because there is some in there who are mentally out, but physically in, because they're too afraid.
Too much peer pressure.
There's too much, you have no, peer pressure is, what do you call that? Like
tip of the iceberg. Tip of the tip.
Peer pressure. Oh, that's a walk in the park.
So bad.
Mission impossible, sir.
Bad choice of words. So I've never been in that.
No idea.
I've never been part of it. What I have heard from former Jehovah's Witnesses, you lose your family. You now might be seen by your family, and yet the only reason they would see you is to try to get you back into the organization, and you basically lose your entire life.
All your friends, everyone you grew up, especially when you were raised in that, and that's your entire community. You're taught, worldly people, the outside people that you might work with them, but they're not your friend. You don't go hang out. When I did leave. And I'm out with not anywhere near prepared.
You're.
Do you understand? Like
you are literally in disguise right now. Like you literally are wearing a disguise right now. And now I understand why. And again, I can see that this is not an easy thing for you to talk about. You probably weren't expecting about talking about this tonight. But I will tell you this: the fact that you are talking about it is. That just tells me there's a lot of progression in your journey, because if it's something that you allow to stay inside of you, it's not something you'd be able to walk away from, right? And so I imagine that's the pull. Maybe in your mind you can say, I don't believe that. And yet family, friends, life, it's hard to actually come out and talk about that. So,
man, boy, this conversation just took a crazy turn, and I don't think this would have come out in the first 5 minutes, and that's why I think it's so important to just listen to a person. I think it took her a while to kind of decide whether or not, she liked talking to me, whether or not she could trust me before she would reveal something like this. A lot of Christian evangelists, they have this mentality of, I just need to preach to this person, and my whole goal is for them to hear me, and they don't do a whole lot of listening. And it is good to get the gospel out, and so I'm not going to say that that's wrong to do that, but if you're not listening to a person while you're talking to them, then you're not going to learn a whole lot about them. And yet here's this woman who is revealing, like, in her mind, the craziest, darkest, most protected secret about her. I mean, she's gone from happy and laughing to literally shaking. Like, her body is shaking in front of me. She's scared just to even talk about this in disguise at night with this total stranger. It's crazy. It's been years, as we're going to find out, since she went through all this stuff. It's been years, and this subject still fills her with fear. Just total fear. Her life in the Jehovah's Witnesses was traumatic, and we're going to hear all about it in the next episode. Hey, stay tuned. I'm sorry, but I got to do that. We're out of time, and boy, until then, though, man, be praying. Be praying for Liberty Bell. She is a real person with a real need for the true and living God. So pray for Liberty Bell, and boy, I mean, I keep going to Oceanside. I'm really hoping I see her again sometime. God bless you. Till next time. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please give it a good review on iTunes. This is the best way for others to notice Romans Road and give it a listen. The more Christians listening and learning how to evangelize, the more we glorify the Lord.
Ray Comfort here. If you haven't yet subscribed to this podcast, please take a moment to do so now. On your phone's podcast app, search for Romans Road, and when you find it, hit subscribe. It's free, and by doing so, you'll get all episodes past, present, and future. Then when you're finished, head over to livingwaters.com for a huge collection of evangelism videos, articles, tracks, and resources to help you share the gospel with those around you. That's livingwaters.com.
Thanks for listening to Romans Road. If you want to learn how to evangelize, check out my book, Search and Rescue, available at eddieroman.com. On my website, you'll also find videos and other things to encourage you to preach the gospel to your friends and family. That's eddieroman.com. See you next time.